if you do what you can to make the best song together, that makes a good co-writer. If you're trying to be particular about, oh, I wrote this, I did this, or I haven't given anything yet. Maybe you said a bad idea that made me think of a good one, and vice versa. So just being open to that give and take. And if your ideas are being like not well received, it's cool because you're still contributing.
That's Tamara Bubble. I'm Steve Cleveland. This is Sync Club. Hey, welcome to the club, Tamara.
Hey, hey, bubble on deck.
Oh, I love it. All right. So I see that you got two recent placements, one on HBO and one on Hulu. And then you just told me like that you got another one just today. I mean, this is fantastic. So I would like to talk a little bit about your music.
Okay, cool.
So like when you start your writing process, from the inception of the idea all the way through the completed song, what does that look like? You know, just like at a high level.
Uh-huh. So it's kind of unorthodox. I don't have like a writing process. I'm pretty all over the place. So like someone could send me a beat and I immediately like it. Like the idea will come into my head. I have to credit, I guess, God for that, because I'm just like, I'll be minding my business and I'll just hear this beat. And then sometimes an entire song will come into my head and I just need to write it down, whatever I'm doing. And then a lot of times producers will send me beats and I don't write to it right away. I'm not inspired by it. I may get like a brief, especially for sync. Like I get a lot of briefs and they'll give me like what, you know, kind of lane I need to stay in terms of like lyrical themes. And then I'll go back and listen to production and the idea will come then, because now I'm kind of like, oh, I need to write about trees. And then I'm hearing this beat and now the leaves and the whatever,
sure.
Fall time, whatever it is, will just kind of like inspire me then, because I have kind of like a lyrical theme to go with. And then a lot of times I'll just have an idea that just came up just because of me living life. Like I'll get into an argument with someone or just leave a comment online or responding to someone's email, and it'll just make me think of an idea. It's really weird, but whatever I do, I just like try to keep the ideas. And my phone has like so many unfinished songs or just like concepts or just choruses or just based on whatever's happening in life and whatever I wrote down. And then also an equal number of just voice memos of just melodies. They're not even lyrics. It's just a sound that I like that I think sounds good. And so I just write it down because I'm just always creating, which is a thing that I recommend songwriters do.
Exactly. I love that. So how often do you go back and listen to all these unfinished things that you have like as voice memos and that kind of thing?
Sometimes I just listen back through just to hear what I was thinking or what I was writing about and see if I still feel like I'm in that same place. But that's very rare. Normally I'll like maybe go through it if I'm at a session and they say, oh, okay, so I want to write about, or I want you to write a song about, I may be at a live session then, and so now I'm creating with the producer, and maybe we decide we want to write a song about hustling. Then I might just type in my phone in like all the memo notes, hustle or hustler, and see all the previous ideas that I thought of and see if I can build on those concepts that I had. So I do that sometimes, and then... but I don't like regularly just, oh, let me go back and listen, because there's always something new. I'm always just trying to catch everything that comes up.
I like what you're saying, because you're taking time when you create the note that you're tagging it somehow, but you're giving yourself like some kind of breadcrumb back to it so that you can just do a search on your phone.
Yeah. So like the voice memos, I'll name them something sometimes. Like if it's a big idea, like a lot of times an entire chorus will come to me, or just like a verse or a complete idea for a song, not just like the concept, but like something that I could actually use, like a full on melody. So in those cases, I'll try to name it whatever I thought the idea was. And then sometimes I'll go and take a shower, so that I can build on the idea. Like if I like the way the song is going and I want to continue to think about it, I'm just going midday or whatever, midnight shower, we're just going to watch up so that the idea can build and I can sing freely and develop it. And I'll bring the phone in the bathroom. This is weird. This is the first time I actually told somebody that I do this, but like whatever, how many showers I need to take that day flush these ideas out. I just like, I will go when I think the song is like, oh, this could be big, I will go and take a shower so that I can like continue to sing it or like rap it or just like free flow it. Or I will drive a lot of times too, because that'll help me like continue to just sing and develop it.
Yeah. Right. So you can rate these, like you go 3 showers, 2 drives, and this will be a guaranteed placement.
Well, I think I'll have the entire song done, that like the full, I will come up with the verse, the bridge. If I like the song, I'll continue to work it out of my brain and body.
Nice.
With either a drive or a shower.
You know, it's really cool how like everybody works and how, you know, but like in general, like when you're just driving down the street and you sing into your phone, mm-hmm. do you have like an idea of what that's going to be leading to?
No, I don't kind of like the free falling ideas. I just capture them.
Okay.
I don't try to force them into this might go for a trailer. Oh, I could see me delivering it hauntingly. Usually I don't dictate the free flowing ideas. I try to let those come to me and like just be, you know, whatever they are, like as they are. I just record it. I either mm-hmm. write it down as the lyric comes to me, or I just record the vocal in its pure form, just raw, whatever it is, because I go back to that. And then I can maybe sometimes try to curtail it if I have a brief that it could possibly apply to, but I don't try to force the natural idea of it. I want to get that as it came to me and just like live in that space.
Gotcha. Okay. So you mentioned like when somebody sends you a beat, do you kind of have like a team of producers?
I have, I guess you could call them, it's not a team. They're all their own individual producers. Mm-hmm. But as a resource, I have access to tons of different producers that do like all different genres and actually live in all different places. Like I work with, primarily they're based in the US, but mm-hmm. I've worked with, excuse me, producers that are in Australia, in Europe, especially, just kind of all over. And I don't limit myself. They're usually unsigned because I'm unsigned and I like to work with people that are on my level and also like just have that freedom to collaborate. I feel like if I'm working with a producer that's really big now, I got to get label approval. I got to get clearance. I got to deal with points. I got to do all this other craziness when I'm working with a producer that's, you know, not signed to a major label or major publisher. I have the freedom to be able to, you know, we can both clear the records with the music supervisors directly. So just cut the middleman out completely. And I really like that. So, yeah.
Because it can get really complicated when you involve third parties like publishers and record companies.
Very much so. I can't even tell you, like, just from attending conferences and hearing from supervisors, how many deals have been lost. I think about it, like, I know the major labels, they have their price floors and all of that, mm-hmm. but just imagine how much opportunity for those artists. Maybe that some of them artists are not like big, but they're signed. And even the ones that are signed and they're big, they turn down what to an indie artist is a pretty big deal all the time. They do it all the time. So just imagine the amount of opportunity that their artists are missing out on because, hey, they have a publishing floor and they just won't accept this, or they're like charging, you know, upwards on an artist that probably shouldn't be charging those fees, but because they're signed to a label and they have to make their money back or whatever, they advance them. They're like turning down stuff that doesn't meet this, you know, threshold. And so that creates so much more opportunity for the indie artists to just like swoop in with the equally good production and song and whatever, and, you know, bank on those opportunities. So I'm grateful for that. I'm glad, like, continue to turn it down.
Well, yeah.
And I'll be here.
You know, hey, congratulations. You guys are big shots and I'm going to cash in. Excuse me while I take my Porsche to the shop. Take this check, you know what? Check to the bank.
Thank you. Thank you, and you're welcome.
Right. So if I could ask you another question about your songwriting, because I am really taken back by like how amazing it is. It's just like such great energy.
Thank you.
What element do you find to be most important in the song production?
The production itself is very important because that's what's going to inspire me to like yell or sing somberly, or it's going to influence my delivery mm-hmm. because I want to match the production. If the production is busy, I want to compliment. I don't want to match it. I should say that. So the production is busy, I'm going to like let the beat breathe a little, and I'm not going to be as vocal. If the production is bare, that allows me to showcase the vocal more. So the production is definitely important in terms of my delivery, but then also the melody. Like, I need what I'm saying to just sound good, and to, especially with rap, so the cadence is really important when it comes to rap.
Sure.
Not even just the flow, just how I'm flowing to the beat, to where when I rap, a lot of times I don't want you to be able to like strip my vocal or like be able to take the acapella and slap it onto another beat. Mm-hmm. I want it to, if you try to do that, it's not going to work. So I'm probably like a DJ's nightmare, because I'm always trying to flow on the beat in a way that you can't just apply it to another beat. Like, I made this rap for this beat.
Yeah, so, yeah. And that makes the song sound like a song instead of just like a mixtape, you know. It really does. Right.
Yeah.
That's cool. So let's talk about co-writes. Is that something that you're into? Are you a co-writer, or do you prefer to work by yourself?
So I do both. I definitely probably make more songs by myself, but I have a lot of people that approach me for co-writes. And so I don't want to, if I like the idea or the concept for the song, I'm going to do the co-write. Because I just don't want to limit myself. Maybe I have a hit record by writing with someone. Mm-hmm. I don't want to assume that, I you know, only need to write by myself. I can be influenced by other writers and maybe like their style of writing, or I don't maybe know their style of writing and just want to be able to work with a lot of people, because at some point I think I'm going to probably write for like major artists or something. You know, when I really blow up, mm-hmm. I assume that labels will approach me, and I want to be able to write, you know, with the artists that they have and just be able to collaborate. So I'm always open to co-writes.
Cool. And so in your opinion, what makes a good co-writer?
Just being flexible, not being married to your lyrics. If you're too precious, and this works with production too. If you're too precious, with your contribution, if you're feeling like, oh, I'm a co-write, so I need to contribute 50% of the words, even if 20% of those words or ideas are not as good, like if the song is good, I guess if you do what you can to make the best song together, that makes a good co-writer. If you're trying to be particular about, oh, I wrote this, I did this, or I haven't given anything yet. Maybe you said a bad idea that made me think of a good one.
I've heard that before.
And vice versa. So just being open to that give and take. And if your ideas are being like not well received, it's cool, because you're still contributing. When with me, I always like, no matter how much or little the person contribute, I feel like the split should be equal, because you're influenced by their contributions, whether you like them or not. And a lot of times too, a rule of mine with co-writers is that if you want to change an idea, if you want to reject an idea, you need to come up with a replacement. So rather than saying, oh no, that's whack, oh no, we're not doing that, oh no, either make it better or we're doing that. And so that's how I kind of like navigate in terms of like just someone that's going to be negative and reject every idea.
Sure. That's a really good way to handle somebody. It's like, hey, if you don't like it, improve it, or
think of something. Yeah.
Or like it.
Well, if the idea is decent, then we're going to rock with it until somebody can think of something better. Like if I can see it's like, oh no, that's not good. Well, if that is so bad, you should be able to think of something better. You may not even think of something good yet. If we can inch our way better, the song overall is going to be better. And if you really hate an idea, you're going to think of a replacement for it.
Sure. I like that. No, it's actually really good. It's because a lot of songwriting, or in my opinion, co-writes just don't work out, because people, they'll not like something and then they don't add anything to it. And so then you just have this thing that just never gets finished and everybody feels bad
about it. And also, right. And a lot of times, more often than not, it's more so, oh, you didn't like my idea, so now I'm going to not like yours. Oh, it's not that.
I don't want to be around that person.
We're trying to make the song better. Yeah. A lot of people are just like that, tit for tat, and it's not going to go down like that. It's like, oh, if somebody thought of something and you didn't really like it, then think of something better, and then you don't have to use it.
Right.
And you can, and you know, two people can agree on with, oh, this word sounds better than that, or, oh, this sings better. Mm-hmm. I do that too. Like sometimes people will find a better word, but it doesn't sing better. It doesn't flow better. So it's like, okay, we could use your perfectly matched word, but the feel isn't as good. And so we test things too. Like when I'm in co-writing sessions, I actually have a co-writing session that I do with my sisters and nieces. And our group is called Pretty Pennies. But we always do like tests and we'll be like, no, this doesn't sing well. No, this doesn't. So this word is better. I like your word, but it just doesn't sound better.
Right.
And now we're going for the mood and the feel of the song overall. So, yeah.
And some things, I don't know, some words just are not singable. I mean, no matter how cool they are, it's just like, are you kidding me?
It sounds thoughtful and not music.
Right. Because it's not like to show off like your vocabulary as much as to compel like people to have a certain emotion or a feeling. Right.
Right. So. And even with Stink, like when they're selecting your song, half the time it's not. It's the production, it's the lyrics, yes, but overall it's the mood. And that's why they can have several songs that could work in this spot, but which one moves the picture more than what it already had by itself? And that's kind of the goal, like the overall tone, like what are you going for with the overall song?
Yeah, yeah, I think you have an ear for that too. So with the successes that you've had, which makes me wonder, like, so... out of your current catalog, about how many songs do you have and how many of those songs are being actively pitched?
It grows, definitely. Weekly, I am creating. I'm always creating. So it's constantly growing. But within the last 2 years, I took a music licensing course. And I think the first year since that course, I had made 100 songs. And then this year, so far, I have 70 songs. So I'm climbing up on 200 because those are the ones that I did before taking the class. So I of course had, you know, way more material, but all of it wasn't, you know, fit for sync. But yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm pitching somewhere in the ballpark of 200 to 250.
Wow. So are you seeing any common threads or themes for the songs that are getting the most attention?
No, okay. I'm looking for that. I want to know what works so I can just make 100 of those songs.
Right.
But I'm seeing, and so like every song that doesn't get placed, there's so many more that are, oh, it's between you two. Oh, it's down to you three. And so I'm seeing the request for even more of the material. It's just that, oh, out of the three songs they picked, they went with something else. Oh, out of the two, they went with something else. So I know those songs are good. They just didn't make that spot. And a lot of your material that you're thinking is not, you know, good for sync. If you're like getting briefs, sometimes I get the weirdest briefs that I would have never made a song about this. So, you know, I can't even say there's main themes. Definitely, I see a lot of, you know, female empowerment being requested. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I feel like you just make a good song and you have to research and find the opportunity. Whatever song you make, that whether they tell you, oh, this doesn't normally get synced or this doesn't normally, there are so many programs and content out. It's just a matter of finding who needs it. It's not a question of whether somebody needs it, like at this very moment. It's just your job once you make your song to go find who needs it and when and get it to them.
Right. So it's a lot of hustle involved in just trying to find that solution that you've created in your song to the person that has a problem.
Very much so. Yes.
Can you give us like a really quick overview of how that happens?
So let's see. The quickest way to do that, there's a website called TuneFind. And so say you think your music sounds like, I don't know, pick an artist that your music sounds like. And I can give you a quick way to find out how to get it to the supervisors. Oh,
okay. So let's say, let's just say Atlas Genius.
Got it. Okay. So you would go to TuneFind and you could type in Atlas Genius and you could see on this website all the syncs that they've gotten. And so, you know, one by one, you could go to the first show that synced their song. You could listen to that song, particularly that got synced, and then also do research on that show and listen to all the other, because this TuneFind website will show you like all the songs in a particular episode or in the entire season.
Yeah.
So you can listen to all the songs that get placed in that show. And so you can hear if your song sounds like it would fit on a playlist with the rest of these songs.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and you can do that for each placement that Atlas Genius has got. So you'll see all the TV shows and films that they've gotten placements in and can research the show now to see if, oh, maybe they just used that one song and it was random and that's not normally what the show uses, mm-hmm. or if no, they need tons of that music and you can eat. And also TuneFind will show you who the supervisor is. So now it's just a matter of Google, find their email.
Okay.
Hunt them down, find interviews on them and see what shows they work on and then pitch, you know, send an email to them. Hey, I know you use da 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 in this show and my music sounds like da 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 da. So listen to my blah blah blah.
That you make that sound so easy and cool.
And then you should thank Atlas Genius because they help you find your lane. So,
I love it though. It's very, very clever way to use that tool. I'll make sure I'll put that TuneFind in the show notes so that people can find it.
Yeah, that's TuneFind.com.
There you go. Okay, so you seem to be crazy busy. And so I just wanted to ask you, you know, how do you manage your time?
I just am always trying to be effective more so than busy. So I don't know. I think I prioritize, you know, what I need to focus on. If I'm working on a brief, so I'm pretty deadline driven. So if I have a brief, I have a deadline on when it needs to be done. So I need to work around that to see when, you know, when I can do it to be able to turn the song in. If I'm not working on a brief, then I may have time for like just a random song. But, you know, and so I can have time to schedule just a co-write with somebody that's been wanting to do co-writes. I can do that. Or if a producer sends me a beat, maybe a beat that I've liked and I didn't have time to get to, now I can go back. Because, I mean, sometimes I have to set time to just listen to like all the beats that I've, you know, received and see if I can work with anything, if I like any of it. You know, so I think I need time to promote the music too. I have a lot of material and I don't want it to sit. So I make time, especially to go to like conferences or to just watch interviews and learn more about Sync. I know I don't know everything. Because if I knew everything, I would be getting syncs every single day and just, you know, money just coming in. I'm just answering the phone and accepting the confirmation.
Yes.
So until I get to that point, I know that, I just have to keep working and meeting people and networking. And yeah.
Oh, that's great. So do you keep a calendar to help you stay effective?
Definitely. My calendar in my phone is my best friend.
Okay.
And alarms are my best friend. I take naps, you know, like I don't get like full night sleep every night, but I do nap like whenever I get up. If I get a break and I'm like spent, I'm going to go lay down for 30 minutes and it's going to give me that second wind to keep going. Or sometimes I'll just set an alarm and take a 2-hour nap so that I can like get up and keep going. But it works. And it just helps.
That's a hot tip. Schedule naps.
Yes. Schedule naps. You need me time. You need sleep time. You need part-time beauty rest, whatever you want to call it. But like, take those.
Well, this is all great information, and I am just thank you for joining us today, Tamara. I really enjoyed this conversation. I learned a ton. Is there anything that we can help you promote? Like check out your new songs or anything that you're working on?
Oh, definitely. So the best place to start is my official website, tamarabubble.com. That's TamaraBubble. All my social media, and I'm on all of it, by the way. I'm pretty active on most of it. It's Tamara Bubble, TamaraBubble. My current single is Forgot Your Name, and the official music video will probably be out maybe when this episode airs. So you can check that out on my YouTube.
Very nice. Well, thank you again.
Yeah.
You are a terrific guest and a great talent. And I'm just I'm excited to see what you're capable of because you're just killing it.
Oh, thank you. And this interview was really dope. And I know when an interview is dope because I'll say things that I've never said before. So thank you for bringing that out.
Well, thank you for having something awesome to say. This is Steve Cleveland, and you've been listening to Sync Club. If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure you check out the show notes. Let us know what you'd like to hear about. You can do so by hitting us up at Twitter, username Sync Club Podcast. Hey, thanks for the hang. We'll see you here next week at the club.